I don't want to.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to, good evening, gentlemen. Continue the Rambam Hilchos Gerushin, Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Beis, Chapter 3, Law 12, in the Mishnayim text. We're on page 54 and 55. Here's a very interesting case. Shnayim Sheshochu Shnei Gitim V'Nisarvu. Two separate men who have the same name. Avram Ben Terach, okay? And they both want to divorce their wives, Sarah Bas Nochor. Okay, they have the same names they have. And they use, first Avram 1 uses agent 1, and Avram 2 uses agent 2. Okay, now both carrying identical gittin for two different women. The two agents go and happen to stop in the same hotel, and they put their bags down, and they put their gittin down. They have a cup of coffee, then they finish, they go, uh-oh, I don't know which get is which.
What are the odds?
It doesn't matter.
I know.
We just want to know what the law is.
I know.
It doesn't have the wife's name on it.
No, everything. Everything's
written. Identical. The same city.
Everything's the same. The city. There are two date. Identical gittin because all the facts happen to be identical with two separate men.
Gittin's the same?
Let's even say they. Well, remember, you don't have to have Adam sign the get, but let's say even the same Adam. They're identical gittim, you cannot, even the same sofa wrote it. But he did, this one he did l'shem, this Avram, and this one he did for that Avram. It was written with the right names in mind. But now the two gittim are mixed up. Now what do you do? So there is a way you can still get these two women divorced. Why? Nosnim shneim lezu, ushneim lezu beidim esira. You give the two agents, or one agent can do it, doesn't matter. Take both gittin, and hand it to one woman. What do you know between the two? One of them's the right one. And in front of two witnesses that see, and the witness will say, I know one thing. He gave her two gittin, and one of them was definitely the one she's supposed to have. Then they take the same two gittin, turn around, and go to the other lady in front of two witnesses, and give her both gittin at the same time. And obviously the understanding is that whichever get is supposed to be for her is the one we want to give for her. And the other one, we don't want her to have it because it belongs to the other lady. It's like a conditional giving, as it were. And if you do that, that will be a good get. And they'll both be divorced. Why? Because they both got the get that was supposed to come to them. Right? They got something else also, but they got what was coming to them. Clearly. Yes?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, but you have to have Adam and Sira. You definitely have to have Adam that see them giving it to her, because that is the primary part of the get. That's for sure. Here's the point. The Mefarshim is saying the woman getting divorced does not need to know which one of the two gittin was the one that was originally written for her. That's the insight of this halacha. Even though she doesn't know which one is the real one, but as long as she knows between the two she is getting the real one, then she is divorced. Now, let's take it one step further. Lafika, therefore, what if these two witnesses, they mixed up the two gittin, but before they ever get it to the women, they lose one of the gittin. They get mixed up, and one of them gets blown away, and they can't find it. So all they got is one get that is good for one of these two women. Then we say, if one of them get lost, before it gets to the lady's hands, Hare Hasheni Batel. The one that's left, the second one that's left, it's null and void, because it's not actionable. Because if you'd use it, it would be a questionable get. You don't know who it belongs to.
So they shouldn't give it.
So let's take it a step further. So therefore you shouldn't give it. So now the commentaries go a step further than the Rambam. So what would happen if, with this one remaining get, they give it to one or even both of the ladies? What would the law be? What would the law be? The law would be, it's a?
Suffolk.
Suffolk get.
Suffolk get. Has to
not
be.
A get. Now, the commentators say, the Rambam says it's batel. Batel means it's batel. You shouldn't be using it.
Right.
It's not a good get. You shouldn't use it because you're only going to get trouble if you use it. But if you use it, we don't say it's just a harmless piece of paper.
No.
That's a radioactive piece of paper. Because that carries with it doubts all the way. And therefore, if you give it to either one or both of them, they'll both be suffek get, which would require a brand new get to give to them.
He says, it's funny, one actually is divorced, but you don't have a clue which one it is.
Or if you only give it to one, could be she is or she isn't.
Right,
we don't know.
You gave that same one to both. One actually is divorced,
and you don't
have a clue.
And therefore, we'd have to write two brand new gittin and give them the brand new get before she gets her hands on another man.
So when a woman gets the get, though, doesn't she have to get something in return from the Beis Din to say that so she can prove that she's divorced? So if he gives it to the first both and then gives it to the second woman both, the first woman has nothing to
Shelley, if we had Beis Dins involved, we wouldn't have these scenarios. They did it without a Beis Din. Obviously, you're right, if a Beis Din's involved. But in the first case?
Well, in the first case,
the Beis Din
would show that she was divorced.
In the first case, the Beis Din would make sure to want to give both getting to both ladies.
So
to make
Shelley sure said, was there a receipt that she had?
They do, but that's
who she got divorced, because she wants to marry somebody else.
Yes,
now.
The Beis Din gives you a receipt. Usually what happens
but she
is,
hasn't got to get to show she had the receipt.
She had to give it back, both of them. That's
okay, again,
said.
We're talking about the theoretical halacha. We're not talking about the practical halacha. The practical halacha, of course, you do things in a practical way. You get a receipt, you get a this. But even with a receipt, it wouldn't help. The Beis Din said, we can't receipt you on this. If one of them gets lost,
the original one.
So they'll give them a receipt.
Yeah.
There's witnesses. Remember, there were witnesses.
Yeah, okay.
The witnesses walk in the court. They go, you know, it was a crazy day. They go to the judge, you know, it was a crazy day. You won't believe what happened. And they tell the case what happened. So what happened? Well, we testify that this Chaim Yankel divorced this Rachelay, and we testify that this Chaim Yankel divorced that Rachelay. So, okay, fine. We'll write the receipts for both of them.
Yeah, done.
Not a problem. You give all. Now, let's get to names. We haven't talked a lot about the names we put in a get. Well, if a person has one name, and he's always called by that one name, it makes life easy. His name is Yankel. Oh, that's really a problem. His name's not Yankel, it's Yaakov, right? But anyway, but if his name is Yankel, that's his name. So you write Yankel on the ksuba. If I say it's finished, what if a guy is known by more than one name? Like Slippery Jake, or whatever.
Slippery Jake.
You know, whatever. He's got more than one name.
Timing.
His name is, your Hebrew name is Yosef?
Yosef.
Right? Is it Yosef or is it Joel?
Is it Yosef or is it Joel?
Joel.
Yeah.
Do most people call you Joel or Yosef?
Joel. Even the Israelis call me Joel.
Okay. So now what do you write on the get?
Yeah, what do you write?
No,
we're not writing with you.
Not so simple.
We've done it once already.
Not so simple. You'll see what they're going to say over here.
Because
you have two names. And, you know, most Canadians, Americans have more than one name.
AKA.
So let's see what they say. So we're going to look. Now, with Gittin, you said with Gittin, we're much more particular than with Exuva.
Yes. But you don't put the Hebrew names on it. You put the
We're going to tell you in a minute. We're going to read the next halacha. I was going to tell you what you're supposed to do. Let's see what you're supposed to do. Mi shahailu shnei shemus. The guy has two names. The man. V'cheinisha sheisha shnei shemus. The woman has two names. Either way. Kishimars, when they get divorced, you do this. Kosev shmo, you write his name. Ushma and her name. Shem regilimbo v'yodimbo. That they usually go by and people know them by that name. Okay.
Wow.
That is who they are, right? That's well known. Bo Bioser. More. Okay? The Omer. Now, when it says and he says, doesn't mean he says, it means you write. You write. This is what you write. You write this. Ish Ploni, so and so, and you pick his popular name. This is his name. Everybody calls him this name. And we add so and so and the Chol Shem Shiesho and any other name that he has. Now, there's a machlokas, exactly how we understand that clause. Does it mean we write every other name he's known as? Or do we write these words, and any other name that he is known as? There's a machlokas, exactly how we do this. Okay? V'chol shem sheyesh lo, ish ploni v'chol shem lo. Gerish, he's divorcing, isha ploni, so-and-so the woman, you say the name she's known by, v'chol shem sheyesh lo, and every name that she has as well. So according to the Rambam, you don't have to say what the other names are. But other, Rishonim, they argue and say you gotta say every name that he's known by, that's the Ramah's opinion. Now, here is the problem over here. You have Jews who have their Jewish names and how they're called by the Torah, and secular names by their known at large. So therefore, the Ramah says the Jewish name should be mentioned first, but the secular name should also be mentioned in the get. According to Ramah, you have to say both names, because that's what he's known by both names. Because we can't leave any doubts. I think you should.
No, I know what we should, do? But what do we do?
If there's witnesses.
Doesn't matter. You have to write every name.
So you write the names in Hebrew. You write their English name in Hebrew.
Yeah, that's why you have to know how to write their English name in Hebrew. He did a whole thing on that. The Rav Henkin was the trailblazer.
Ah, yes.
This was in the 50s, whatever.
Yeah.
And you look in his sefer, it tells you how to write all these English names, Elizabeth, Frank.
Really?
All these names in Hebrew.
Wow.
How to write them in Hebrew.
What's the Hebrew symbol for a J?
Whatever it is. You
give him a line.
So anyway, so that's what you have to write. And sometimes a ksuva also, I remember from my sister, she, in the ksuva, they were very particular. The rabbi there was a big tzaddik and was very particular. They made him change the whole beautiful ksuva. Her name was, her given name was Razel. Okay, when you went to the Hebrew Academy in 1956, 57, you know, she had an Israeli teacher. And she said, what's your name? Razel.
Razel.
That's a Europeanish name. We'll call you Shoshana.
What? How did you do that?
And that's what she was called throughout school, Shoshana.
Nice.
But not your mother. Your mother didn't name her that.
I'm just saying. So then when they wrote the ksuva, I'm trying to remember which one they wrote. I can't remember so long ago. They wrote, I believe they wrote Shoshana. And then the rabbi says, doesn't she have another name? It's Razel. So they had to put on the side, Demiscarius Razel, which is also known as Razel. Put it on the ksuva. Because her real name was Razel, but no one ever called her. Went through 18 years of school.
What did your mother call her?
English name, Rose.
Really?
So for a ksuva, we don't do the English name. For a ksuva, we won't do that. But by a get, where it's the person always goes to that, you know, we have to pick every name.
What do you call her now?
I call her on time.
Okay.
I still call her Rose.
Okay.
That's.
It's when you follow your mother's footsteps. That's all. That's it.
She calls me Yossel.
Okay. She doesn't call you the other Dave. Okay.
No. Good. My other sister also calls me Yossel.
Good. Phew.
But my mother always called me by my whatever.
Anyway,
so that's what you have to write. Okay. So you got to write everything he's got there. What if v'im kosav chani choso v'chani choso? What if they write his nickname and her nickname? Now there's a whole debate what that means by nickname. Some say it's referring to the family name, like Rotenberg. In other words, they wrote this man who is Mimishpachat Rotenberg, or Mishpachas, you know, whatever, Wolf. And they don't say his first name or whatever, or they write some other things, etc. So, and then there's others who say, no, it's talking about a nickname that he's well known by. And I think in your English, she gives an example of that. They say, where's the one over there? No. Let's say the guy's name is Danny, which is a derivative of Dan or Daniel. Right? So in other words, you use a name that is a legitimate name, but you know, you didn't use, you know, a Hebrew name or whatever. Kusher. We still say it's Kusher, even though he didn't write every single name. But it's clear it's a name he's very well known by. That's a critical point, and that is okay. So it's not l'chachil the best, but at least you got to write at least a well named that he had. But the optimal way is you put down all the names that he has. Okay, Yudal. How about Kosav Hashem She'enam Yeduim Bo B'Yoser? What if he picks a name that very little people know about that name? For Kosav, he writes the not well known name, and then adds. And Kol Shem Shus, and any other name he has, but without spelling it out. Let's say you write the name, let's say he's not so well known as George, as Chaim, but he's known as George. So they say, you know, his name is Chaim and it's also George. Or his name is Chaim.
And every other name is known by.
And every other name is known by. Then that would be okay.
No.
But if you say.
I raise the apostle.
One second, if he did, I'm sorry, again. You're right. If he doesn't know the main name, and he just writes any other name, but, right?
So he writes a name that he's not known by, and then he says, and every other name that he's known by, that's
stipulate. Pasul. Doesn't stipulate.
That's Pasul.
Right. Haraze apostle.
So if he specifies that other name, as opposed to whatever,
then that's okay. Then you're back in the ballgame, potentially.
Right, because at least you got the name there.
Yeah, but if you don't have it, just everything.
But I think this, the English may say a little different, if I'm not mistaken. There's a little difference between one of the two commentaries. Anyway, so that already, but clearly the lesser known name by itself is for sure not good. Now what if Shina Shmo, what if he just wrote a different name altogether? Ooh. Oh, Shmo, a different name for her. Vishemira, a different city. Oh, Shemira, his city, her city, different cities. Avishakasav, even though he writes after that, his name was Chaim and George, and he wrote Sam. Sam and any other name he's known by. Right? Alpha Vishakasav, Koshem Shieshlo, Koshem Shosha, ain't a get, that's not a get, because that name is the wrong name.
It's not him.
So that won't help. That won't help. Okay, now, that's the end of the name game. Now we move on to a different topic. Who is eligible to write a get? Remember, what is the one important criteria about the writing of the get? The get must be written what? For the sake of the divorce of this man and this woman. It's l'shem get. That is one of the 10 biblical requirements. So we're dealing with the person who's writing it, so we're going to dovetail into Hilchos Tzitzis again. Okay? So now we have to see which people will there be a deficiency in their reading it, writing it for the sake of the get or not. So that's what Halacha Tesvav. Tesvav will give the Halacha, won't give you the reason, and Tezayin will then give us the reason. So,
you have the machine
for the reason.
Made gets.
So Hakol Ksherim Lichtov is a get. Everyone is kosher to write a get. Chutz Mechamish, except for the following five types. Goy, a non-Jew, doesn't matter who he is, can't. Even Obama can't write you a get.
Wow.
Be'eved, and a Canaanite, say, you'll see, and a Canaanite servant,
yes.
Not a good get. V'cheresh, a deaf mute that we consider halachically not sound. V'shot, an imbecile. V'katan, and a minor. Those are the five that are out. And the next halacha will explain why. What about a woman? Afilu isha atzmo koseva seskita. A woman can even write her own get. Her own get she could write. However, she has to give the paper and sell it to the husband, because remember, the husband now has to give the get to her. But theoretically, a woman can write it, and not just any woman. The woman who gets divorced can even write her own get. A woman is kosher to write a get.
For somebody else also.
For someone else or for herself. Either way, that is okay. And you'll all see why in the next halacha. And also, what about Yisrael Shehemir Lagoy? What about a Yid who apostated? Who went off the derech completely. If you look what my footnote says, Yisrael that became a mushumid for Avodah Zorah, he baptized himself, whatever, he went off, totally. Or he desecrates Shabbos publicly. Now others have a different text, just say Michal Shabbos, which
he's
apply
like
even once. Okay, this needs more explanation, we'll see. Befarhesha, harehu kigoy lechol dvarav. It's the Rambam, it's not me.
Whoa.
Don't get mad at me. Okay, the Rambam says it. He's like a goy for everything.
Whoa.
The commentaries say, why? Because let's look at it. If a guy worships idols, what does that mean? It means you deny Hashem. He can't be considered like a Jew. Now let's make this clear. He still is a Jew. In his soul, he is a Jew.
There's consequences to your actions.
But the consequences is, we treat him halachically like a non-Jew. Because he does, one part of being a Jew, you gotta believe in God. Plain and simple. If you worship idols, you do not believe in God. And a person who desecrates his Shabbos, he denies that what God does as well. He's saying God did not create the world in 6 days and stop.
But he says the Farhestia. So if you do it quiet, you're still in the
loop. Right. And that's what the Rambam said in Hilchos Shabbos, that Shabbos and Avodah Zarah, each one is equal to all the other mitzvahs of the Torah.
Yeah.
Right? And Rambam over there says, Machal Shabbos Farhestia is like a goy. Okay.
Does it mean someone who used to keep Shabbos and went off the derech, or someone who's never?
So that's a good question. Depends on the different scenarios you'll see in this halacha. We'll wait and see what's going to be the halacha for this one. However, they bring down. So what about? So we'll see. What about a guy when he went off the derech, and then he went and. One second. What's the case over here? What if a guy gave the woman a kedushin?
This is a long.
What if the guy went off the derech, right? And then he went off that. Then the kedushin we say of a heretic is tofes.
Yeah.
It's a good kedushin, even though you should divorce yourself from this guy, and it would need a get. So it catches something. But in terms of writing the get, will for sure not work. In terms of writing get, he's like a goy. Chal Shabbos, and a avodah zara is like a goy. Now, what's this all based on? So now let's go to halacha tazayin, and then we'll appreciate it a little better. Why are these five guys, back to the five, the goy, the eved, and the cheresh shei devakot, why are they not good? Because it's a very important factor. You have to have it lishma. You have to have it for the sake of the mitzvah of writing a get for these particular people. And a goy writes it for his own needs. He doesn't do it for the mitzvah. The goy is getting obviously paid or something. He's doing it for something that benefits him.
Benefits.
And the Mefarshim explains, Shelley, even a Jew stands on top of him
right.
and commands him to write it for the sake of a get, he's still not doing it for that. He's doing it on his own
volition.
And he's not doing it for them. He's not doing it for them.
He's doing it for his job.
Whatever. And he, it is not a good get. Finished.
He says here.
Yeah, and there's going to be a lot of similarities, and that's a, and the same thing for tzitzis, right?
Yeah, 100%.
But right, what did we say?
But in this press situation, a goy could do it.
But then we said if the Jew works with him, we're a little more lenient.
Yes,
a little more lenient.
If the Jew works with him and he does a little bit at least.
So we'd have to see other poskim if they argue on this Rambam. We'd have to see if some, okay. but who brings this down? The Gemara there says Tak. All right, so we have to see where, why it's different in other cases. We'll have to see. Anyway, what about a cheir shait of a cotton? Those three, well, that's an automatic. Ain't of an idea. They're not considered intelligent enough. They don't know. It's just the fact that they're too young or not smart enough. They can't write lishma. They don't understand what they're doing. For Evan and an Evan, ain't of a Torah's getting kedushin. He's not in the parsha of getting in kedushin.
Can't apply.
In other words, it's not appropriate for him, and therefore can't work for him.
It's not applicable to him.
It's not applicable. Lafika who puzzled goy lechavoy. He's also a goy. Oh, wait a minute. He's also a goy. So why don't we knock off a goy for this? Isn't that a good reason to knock off a goy? Also, we said a goy because he's doing it not for lishma.
Right.
But now, why don't we say the same thing we said for the Evan?
Ah, yeah, we did.
The answer is because it wants to include even a Jew who went off the derech.
Ah.
We treat like a goy, but we can't say he's not applicable to it.
Right.
So we wouldn't allow him to write the get either. So that's what it means, the goy and one who has given up his Yiddishkeit, the get is not going to be lishma.
Right.
But that Jew would be in the parsha of get. Because if that Jew went off the derech, he still would have to give his wife a get.
Right.
So he's included. So that's why they...
That's why the evid is in the goy.
Right. Now, what if happened though, v'imkasav aget, echem echemishal, what if one of these five guys did write a get? They did it anyway. Ain't no get. It's not a get, even though, avo bishachas mu'edim ksherim, even though kosher witnesses signed it. V'nimso v'shem, and kosher witnesses all given over. He had a lot of kosher stuff over here.
Doesn't matter.
But this isn't a biblical obligation. It has to be written for the sake. If it doesn't, it's no good. Just do one more. Yud Zayin. Kasav Echad Mechamish Eila Tofis. Remember we talked about fill in the blanks?
Yes.
Remember we said we made a takana right. that a sofer is allowed to fill in a whole get, not knowing who it's for,
right.
but leaving the main parts to be filled in that he does know it's for.
Yeah.
He leaves the blanks for the names and the place and the date and all that. So what about these five who can't write, they write the fill in the blank part. They don't fill in the blank, they write the generic part. Haget, Veiniach Mokam Atarf, and they leave the main part to be filled in by a kosher sofer. Mm. Shuwa, what are the main parts? Makoma Ish, the place where the man's name. Makoma Ish, the woman's name. Makoma Zman, the place. Makom, and the place. The date and the place, rather. Hare'at, and also, Makoma Hare'at, Muteras Chalam, the words that say you're allowed to marry any man. Uksom HaPikeach, HaGodol Yisrael Yisrael. And then, a Jew who's normal and regular fills in the blanks. Hare'za get kosher. It's a kosher get. Why? Because the main get is that last part. That has to be lishma. The fact that we've got other things, that is, you know, to take care of the scribes, that they won't have to waste so much time. Okay, Yudches follows that, but we did enough for today. Okay, Shkoyach, guys, we'll continue tomorrow. Yudches. Only if Paul would have stayed, we would have had a minute.
Right, good night.